I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
And then I felt super guilty because I put way too much chlorine in the hot tub, and Kanye West was like, dude, why the fuck did you put so much chlorine in?
I don't know why you would do that.
I know, it was dumb.
Anyway, I have been listening to all of these podcasts that I love. I love them so much, I don't know what to do. I just want to support them, and I have no idea how to do it. I mean, you're a huge podcast fan. How do you support the podcasts you love?
Well, I listen to like 5 shows a week, and I support all of them on Patreon.
What's Patreon?
What do you mean, what is Patreon? You literally ask our listeners to support our Patreon every single episode at the very end.
Wait, so hold on. Patreon is a way that you support podcasts and creators that you love? Or
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you can go and you can contribute as little as like $5 or as much as like $500 on a monthly basis.
No shit. So anybody who loves Sick Boy could go to our Patreon page that we have, news to me, and they could contribute whatever amount they want and get awesome shit in return for that?
That's exactly what it is. And honestly, if you say that you love Sick Boy, but you don't support us on Patreon, do you really love the show?
That's a very good point, Brian. Where do you go? Like, what is the thing? Is there a link? Is there a URL, I think it's called? Where would you go for that?
It's very easy. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sickboy.
Sorry, could you say that one more time?
That's www.patreon.com/sickboy.
Come again?
That's www.patreon.com/sickboy. Dude, you're making me feel really self-conscious about my S's.
Yeah, plus it's 2020. I don't think you need the www. But anyway, that's amazing. Now I know. Sweet.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast that talks about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Adam. He lives with a painful spinal cord injury, and he's as tough as nails. Let's talk about it.
It's been a while since we sat down on the mics.
It has been a minute. I'm going to just take this out for a second. No, I'm not. I'm going to do that. Engineering.
Great.
New year, new you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Year. Brian, tell us about your New Year's resolutions. I'm sure you've got some.
No, I don't have any New Year's resolutions.
You don't have any on a whiteboard?
But you know anywhere? What? You know what I feel like? I feel like I'm always trying to better myself.
Every day is a new year for you.
I think every day is all about
365 days.
It's always all about being the best version of yourself. But you know what? I will say, I feel like the new year, even though you might not set personal resolutions,
let that come up as high as
I feel like.
And we'll get you when you do talk into the mic. Just come right up on it,
right up there.
Yeah, you got
perfect.
It.
Yeah. I feel like New Year's for businesses is usually about like setting goals and KPIs for the next year.
Targets.
Right? So I think even though you might not be into setting personal resolutions, just the nature of setting goals for businesses just kind of like helps to like realign or like reset your like productivity practices. Do you find that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm really like, I'm feeling really good these first couple weeks.
Do you think that's a product of the new year, or do you think it's a product of everyone goes on vacation for 2 weeks, then feels like a bag of shit because they did nothing for a bit, and then they're like, fuck, I got to do something to get my ass in gear?
I think it is that, but I wouldn't put it that way. I would say more so in the sense of like everybody comes back invigorated after a break.
Well, speaking of
Doctor of Spin.
Speaking of feeling like a bag of shit, Adam, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Thanks.
I think that's as perfect a segue as we're going to get because I just recently read your application and fuck me, silly. You have had a rough few years. Over
13 years.
Over a decade.
Yeah.
Why don't we just like dive head first?
Here we go.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Why don't we?
Is that a bad joke?
I might have been. I don't know. Why don't we get right into it? You're dealing with what most people would refer to as a pretty fucked up spinal injury.
Yeah, I basically what they call it is a spinal cord lesion.
Oh God!
And I got it at the level at the T8-T9 level.
The T. So that oh yeah, yeah. T8-T9
in my thoracic spine. It yeah. affects from here down.
So what? So say it again. It's a spinal lesion.
Lesion.
So what does that mean? Like a slice in your spine?
No, it basically like
lesions like a
what's
like
a lesion?
A lesion's like a is a bruise, right? It's how a laceration is a cut.
That's what I'm thinking.
How they explained it to me is when I had my accident, I blew the discs out and I fractured my back and it came out and hit my spinal cord, which put a mark in it.
Oh,
whoa.
And a spinal cord is like a really soft tissue and with so much going on in there that as soon as you make a mark in it, it just confuses everything and then it's just a byproduct from there down.
So how did this happen? What were you doing?
I was a construction worker and I run heavy equipment and I was getting out of an excavator one day. And I was in a little bit of a rush, and I slipped. And when I went to try to catch myself, I come down probably about 4 feet, and when I tried to catch myself, my heels hit the ground at the same time my ass hit the track of the machine, and it just folded my upper half.
Oh, God.
And as soon as it happened, I knew something bad happened, but just like everyone else, you're like, oh, well, I'll walk it off or I'll get by. So I made it the rest of the day, and I went into work the next day. And I, like 2 o'clock, I was just in tears. And I'm like, I got to go home. And it happened on the 31st, and the next day was a Friday. So I went home early. And I laid in bed all weekend. And Monday, I just couldn't get on my feet. I couldn't put no weight
on. So when it happened, you hit. And then, like, were you in some sort of shock for the rest of the day? Were you able to go on? Or was it, was it the sort of thing where you hit and you were like, something's wrong, but I could muscle through it, or
the feeling I got it was a lot like someone took a knife and stuck it right in my side.
Right,
no big deal. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna go back to work.
It was just a minor stabbing.
Yeah, I know exactly what that's like.
I just want to say this because people, you know, it's a podcast. People can't see you, but you said you fell about 4 feet, and someone might hear that and go, well, that doesn't really sound that high. But also, you're a fucking large human. Like, you are a big boy.
I'm 6'4", 240 pounds.
That's a lot of weight to just drop, on, like, from 4 feet down onto, you know, a large, very fucking solid metal structure.
Yeah.
When you said you folded, was it like, did you... Like, are we talking like a forward bend at that part of your spine, like your T6, T7 area?
It felt like I folded halfway up my rib cage.
Right. Oh, my God.
That's
folded forward, not like scorpion back.
More so like you just take your shoulders and try to stuff them in your stomach.
So just like a – so actually compressed.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. I was seeing you like bend.
Yeah.
But it was actually just like a – like – top down, like a fucking spring.
Yeah.
The way that you said it almost the same less intense thing happened to me when I was snowboarding and I hit a rut and the face of my snowboard went into the rut and I buckled and put my knees into my face and like same, I busted like 15 teeth, but same, like when you described how it happened, I went, oh. Because I like just had a flashback to that happening to me. Obviously, didn't fuck my back up, fuck my face up pretty good. But yeah, you said that. I just went, oh my God.
And in that area, it's hard to like when you get a stomach ache, it's hard to brace for that pain. Mm. It's like just in such an open area. And when it's through
all your organs are there. Like,
yeah.
Was it just like, were you out of commission all weekend and it getting progressively worse all weekend long?
Yeah, I basically crawled back from my bedroom to the bathroom all weekend. Okay. And at the time, I was living alone. I wasn't with Laura. And so I went from the bedroom to the bathroom to the bedroom. And Monday came, and I couldn't get on my feet. It was just too as soon as the weight got on it, it felt like I was going to break in half.
Were you just thinking like, oh, this will get better at time? I fucked something up, and if I just let it be, it'll get better.
Yeah.
Are you,
it's the construction mentality.
I was going to say, are you like, you know, I would say probably most of us in this room, like pretty stubborn about going to get shit checked. Like, are you, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how long did it take you to go, oh, you know what? I got to go to a fucking doctor.
That Monday morning, I was like, I got to go because I can't get on my feet no more and I can't get to the bathroom. So I called my brother and he took me to the Cobequid Center, and it was honestly weird because we went in and they took me right in, and this beautiful young blonde doctor came out and looked me over. I told her what happened, and the first thing she said was, well, we're going to have to do a rectal exam.
You're like, whoa. No, no,
I was
no.
Like, well, no.
I hurt my back.
Yeah, it's my back here that I got to shoot. And I didn't,
nothing went up my ass when I landed. I think my spine compressed.
I'm not going to say we got in an argument, but it was a heated discussion on how it was my back I needed her to look at and get this pain stopped other than sticking fingers in my arse, right? But anyways, she explained to me, you know, that will... It's something to do with if you have a control of your muscle.
Sphincter. Yeah, right.
So, I mean.
And did you not? Like, was she like, whoa, your asshole is just loose as could be?
I don't really know, because it was just bad time, and then I just checked out for a second, you know.
Right, sure.
She could get done what she needs
sure,
to do.
Yeah, sure,
but
sure.
She definitely said, there's issues here.
Okay. So, wow, that's rare. That's really interesting. I never realized that. Like, that's the go-to thing to check. Like, I fucked my back up. We're going to have to check your butthole.
Because it would be a nerve thing, right?
Like, yeah, right.
If you have the nerve, the nerve control. And, like, again, like, nerves are a fucky thing. I never really experienced them too much until I had my bike accident. And, like,
I don't know, man.
Just had a ton of nerve issues.
It seems to me like you could probably do, like, the knee tap test instead of, like, the butthole test? Don't you think of?
I don't think so.
You can just take
like,
yeah. And then right after the exam was done, somebody came in and went, "Why didn't you just tap his knee?" You're like, "Whoa!" And she's like, "Oh, damn it! I totally forgot about
she,
that one."
She was like, "I couldn't find the hammer."
Maybe
whatever.
Maybe reflexes and nerves aren't the same thing. I don't know.
I think they are a little bit different.
I don't know. So how does the? Right, so yeah. How do you go from that the incident happening, going to see the doctor? And then, so she gives you the exam, and then is that the moment where they're like, something in your spinal cord could be fucked up, or is it another, or is it just, oh, there's an issue, and it's something minor, and you find out later that it's actually the super serious injury?
They put it off as something minor, and they actually put me back to work like 4 or 5 weeks later, and I made it 3 days, and like the fourth day, I couldn't lift my legs up to get on the excavator track to get in the machine. I was throwing up.
Well, wait, so you went 4 or 5 weeks of just like kind of laying down and recovering, and then you went back to work?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
I went 2.5 years before I got surgery.
Whoa. How long did you go before you realized that there was something actually serious going on?
Well, I knew right away it was something serious wrong, but... I mean, when there's sort of several people involved, when it's a workplace accident, there's a motivation to get you healthy and back to work. And sometimes they don't look at everything.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that about the pressures in a construction environment with like workplace injury and workers' compensation and everything. Like, I don't know how much you want to talk about it or if you do at all, but what is that? You know, I know that your brother had an incident that was really kind of weird. And
my brother worked for an oil refinery I can't remember what it's called, but they do this like turnover thing every so often. And they like clean the whole plant and do all this stuff. I don't know what goes on, but he was hired for this like changeover thing that was going to last a couple weeks. And he was spotting a guy who was cleaning out this pipe. And the guy was up in the pipe cleaning the stuff. And he's looking up at him, and they're wearing protective eyewear, but some of the chemical dust came down and went in behind his eyeglasses and burnt his eye. And he was like immediately in intense pain. And he went to the office, and he was like, I need to go to the hospital. And they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Just sit here for a minute. Like, let's just make sure that it's not it might not be that serious. And they like wanted him to stay there. And he was like, I got to fucking go. So he called my mom, and she came and picked him up, and the person came with them, like followed him to the hospital and wanted to come into the room and stuff with the doctor. And they have a sign up outside of the facility that says like 0 days lost because of injury.
Yeah. And not to say that that's what happens at everywhere, but like,
my employer was very great with me. My boss came to me when they put me back to work and he said, man, you're not fit to work.
That's good.
You know, he said, you're just,
you can't get your leg up to get in the, like, of course.
He goes, I know, like, I was a hard worker. We worked a lot of hours, long hours, tough hours. Mm-hmm. We done it all. And you don't complain. You make hay while the sun shines, right? And when I was only 27 years old, I owned my own home. I bought my own home when I was 23. Like, you just don't decide one day you're going to give up work and go home and lay down. Mm-hmm. So I took physiotherapy and I was put back to work. And then I don't know how much I want to talk about it because I'm finally in a half decent spot 13 years later. But I mean, the end result was is doctors, I don't think they looked at the whole picture sometimes. And I had some great, great doctors that done wonderful things for me. But the first motivation was always, let's get back to work. You're going to have to deal with some problems. Let's get back to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went 5.5 years with no compensation at all.
Whoa.
At one point.
Whoa. Wow.
I almost lost my house if it wasn't for Laura.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that must be the standard in workplace injuries. Mm-hmm. Like that's the motivation. I mean, that's the motivation. You're hurt on the job. You're probably seeing, I don't know. Are you seeing, like recommended doctors by whether it's a company or workers' compensation? Do they send you to certain people or do you go and get your medical care, you know, wherever at the hospital, like we would, if we got hurt on the street?
Well, and then, see, this is one of the things I learned. That if I wish I would have known back then, you can take more control of what goes on with yourself, right?
Right.
And at the time, workers' comp said, well, we're going to send you here. So I went.
Yeah.
I want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm not saying it was for the good or the bad, but,
sure.
You know.
Right. They give you the recommendation and then, yeah. And like you're being, and you know, you're just hurt. So you're just going, okay, well, that's where I go to get unhurt.
Yeah, exactly.
and like their motivation is to get me back to work, and your motivation is to get back to work.
Yeah.
So why not?
So when you first start to go back, and then you can't lift your legs up to get back into the excavator, excuse me. Like, how does the pain start to manifest after that? Like, what starts to happen to your body after that? I assume that you're not getting any better. So is it getting worse and worse and worse?
At this time. I was having things happening with me that I honestly thought I was crazy. Like my hands would just burn on fire and sweat, and my feet would be burning in fire. And I felt like
literal fire, just fire, like on fire. Like
it just felt like, honestly, it was on fire.
Yeah.
I know it was horrible, man.
Yeah.
And it felt like I had razor blades stuck in my heels.
Jesus,
so when I'd
fuck.
Walk on my heels, it would feel like shin splints or it was horrible.
Mm.
And I had numbness in my legs. And reason they check your arseholes, because I had numbness in that area too.
Mm-hmm. Were you shitting yourself? Like, were you like incontinent?
When I have, so these spells I have, which is the, what is it, Laura?
Sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah, but the AD.
Yeah, so your partner Laura's here. She actually wrote your application for you, which you didn't know, which is really funny because I called you and you called me back and you were like, I didn't know that someone applied for me, but I guess I'll do it. And I was like, oh fuck. Well, your application was great.
Well, we were just in the bathroom and I was like, oh man, I just drank a ton of water. I got to piss so bad. And he said, he was in the stall beside me. And he goes, yeah, I get like attacks like 10 times an hour where I feel like I got to piss myself.
Yes.
And then it goes away.
So in that application, she wrote down a number of things. And one of those things which Laura just said off mic was autonomic dysreflexia is one of the symptoms that you have. What is that?
I can't explain it to you. I can tell you what the symptoms are.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically it's one of the most horrible things I've ever been through. And it's... What's really crazy about it is it happens the same all the time. So I'll go to bed, like I don't sleep real well. I'll get an hour here and there, and then I'm up, and then I'll get an hour here and there. And then when I do fall asleep, I just sweat profusely because my sympathetic nervous system is just on fire.
To this day.
Oh, whoa, yeah. Whoa. You get like excessively high blood pressure.
Yeah, Brad, you nailed it. It's a syndrome in which there is a sudden onset of excessively high blood pressure.
So your body basically, so it's common with people who've had spinal cord injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I think it's caused by, there's three things that cause it. Pain or irritants or... it could be like natural things in your body. So like your body could be trying to send you a message saying like, you need to use the bathroom, but your body doesn't understand it because the nervous system is bruised at that exactly. point. So you're not getting the messages. And so that results in you just getting like really high blood pressure. And then it manifests in all different types of ways in the body, right? Like intense pain and
says
stuff
here,
like
symptoms include a pounding headache, a flushed face, sweating above the level of the spinal injury, nasal stuffiness, nausea, a slow heart rate, goosebumps below the level of the spinal injury. Wow, that's really specific. Cold, clammy skin below the level of the spinal injury. How do you know this, Brian?
Because I read about it before we came in here.
Ah, you sneaky fucker. That sounds awful.
But so what it does to me is, here's my symptoms. I will wake up 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be soaked with sweat, and I'll have a bad pain. And I lost all the feeling after the surgery. I lost all the feeling in this area.
You're like ribs.
In your gut. Yeah, your ribs.
So I'll wake up and I'll have a bad pain there. And I'll usually wake Laura up and say, here we go. And within 20 minutes, I'll start throwing up every 10 minutes.
Whoa.
And, you know, the first couple times it's all right because you got some stuff in your belly. But then after that, it's just straight dry heaving.
Oh, God.
It's so bad it will take you to the point where you're just getting ready to black out and you'll stop for a sec so you can get your breath.
And this
so
lasts for quite a while, doesn't it?
This will last anywhere from 10 to 12 hours and then turn off like a light switch.
Dude, dry heave puking for 10 hours straight?
Yeah, and shitting myself too.
Oh, my fuck.
So on top of that.
Now, hold on. Sorry. Is this like current? Is this something that like happens, I don't know, like could happen tonight?
It could happen, yeah, tonight.
Holy fuck, dude. It's been 13 years.
It happened. So after I had my surgery, I started physiotherapy and then I'd go to physio and she had moved me a certain way. And then I'd come home and have one of them attacks the next day. So I was having some months I was having 2 and 3 a month. I had some 2 days apart.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
you know it's crazy. When I read about that, it said one of the ways that you can stop your body from doing that is by like doing something to change the situation. So like if the signal is coming from having a full bladder, by going to the bathroom, you're changing the state, and then your blood pressure is coming down. So when I read that, I was like, oh, you just do like this little thing and change it, and it gets better. But talking about having 10 to 12 hours of like dry heaving and throwing up is, it just blows my mind because you think like you look at like the kind of medical diagnosis side of it and it's like, oh, this thing is happening in your body. Here's how you address the problems by doing these things. But you don't like actually hearing the personal story from you of what you're actually experiencing during that time. All of a sudden it makes it like 100 times more worse.
Do you know what triggers it in you?
No.
It sounds like
it's crazy the amount of things that can cause it.
Right. You know, like, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the pain that I deal with, you know, but it could be as you could get a hangnail and it could cause it.
Holy
my
fuck.
Whole system is
That's
so
nuts. I mean, it's like if you've ever traveled and gotten just like the stomach bug that just makes you shit and throw up forever. It just sounds like that multiple times a month. Like, can you imagine if you went, you know, the craziest travel bug story you've got.
And yeah, you like go, three times that. In your life is like, oh, that was a lot in my life.
And you remember it and it stands out and you get that multiple times a month.
Taylor, I'm thinking about your story that you've told before about the pain, the burning, the sunburn in Brazil.
Mm. Yeah.
And that pain that you went through and how that was like the most unbearable experience of your life.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die.
And how basically that's what Adam's saying that he goes through
yeah.
I mean, a few times a month.
Blackout, like on the verge of blackout. Like,
oh, it's so much worse than that because I'll, like the sweating I go through, Laura keeps bringing me towels, and I'll soak a towel every 30 minutes. Like,
wow.
if you got out of a pool and give yourself about 20 seconds just to drip dry and then stood there, that's the amount of water coming off me for 12 hours. I soak everything.
Oh, my God.
So she wraps me in towels, but for some reason, when I do that, I just start shivering bad enough that my teeth are just chattering. So I shiver for the whole time.
Oh, dude, how many towels do you own?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. How much laundry
do you
have
to take out stock in Bed Bath & Beyond?
Oh, my God. Laura goes through so much stuff.
So what happens from the time... So you...
I want to know about the surgery. Like,
yeah.
Like,
but how did you get from the time that you... from the time you... So you have the injury and then you said it was... Did you say something about 2.5 years after what?
Yeah.
What happened 2.5 years after? Was it the surgery two and a half years later?
So after the injury, I went to these doctors and they kept saying, oh no, I can't see nothing there that's, you know, causing any problems. But I'm like, well, here's the problems. They're like, yeah, but your symptoms don't add up to a disc herniation and stuff. So they sent me to a neurosurgeon, Dr. Christie, and he looked at me a few times and said, it's nothing there that I can do. And so they sent me for nerve blocks where they go in and freeze your nerves and stuff. And none of it was helping. And so I had one final appointment with Dr. Christie, and me and Laura went in to see him. And he put my knee up and hit the reflex test.
No. Like, fuck off.
He did, yeah.
You're like, last time she put her fingers in my ass.
I told you. I should be a doctor, you guys.
You did call it. You actually did call it. Oh, my God.
And it didn't work. He hit your thing and it didn't move.
Well, actually, what
happens... You're like,
happens,
try my ass.
what happens is it goes too strong. It goes the other way. They're hypersensitive.
You just kick them right in the head.
Yeah, you just... Everything's just wide open. You got no control. Wow. So he looked at me and said, well, I think it's time we got to do something. And I think it was like 6 or 7 days later... He done the surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a crazy turnaround.
I just want to say, I can't believe you kept so cool when I said the knee thing earlier.
I know, you didn't even break.
You're just like, let the story get to it.
Nothing rattles me anymore.
My sweet God. That's so when that happened, was he just like, you need surgery? Like, you need surgery ASAP?
Well, he sat down and I can't remember the percentages he started spewing out, because at that point, you're just sitting there going, oh, I really don't want to hear all the bad stuff. But I think it was like a 30 or 40% chance that I could get paralyzed in the surgery because it's in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
And normally they had to like take the whole rib out to try to get into that area. But luckily there was some new doctor from abroad somewheres that was here, and they was doing this microsurgery. So they actually cut in my rib cage and drilled like a hole through my rib cage and went in through there and worked.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't super invasive then, in terms of like, you don't have like a large scar. Well, no. I mean, that is way less invasive
than removing a rib
and like cracking you open.
Yeah. Just taking your stomach out or something and going in that.
Yeah,
way.
Yeah, exactly.
God, that makes
it's just,
you feel.
It's just so weird to say something's not really invasive when they're like, yeah, you just cut a hole into my body and drilled into me and did shit to me.
Yeah.
It's relatively not invasive.
Right. Yeah.
And the surgery, I mean, I just recently had surgery on my torso. And it was, laparoscopic, which this sounds like it sounds like it was a laparoscopic surgery, but do you know if it was it laparoscopic?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the recovery of that, did you find that pretty rough or?
Well, I'm a little silly in the head. So, I mean, to give you the honest story.
Yeah.
You know, I was half worked up the morning. He said, you know, we went in 6 o'clock and he said, it's going to be an all day event. And they were, you know, they had nurses coming back and forth telling Laura how it was going through the progress. So,
right.
So it was like 4 or 5 o'clock that evening. I get out and I'm in recovery. And
how long was the surgery?
It was all day. I don't know how many hours. I went in around 7, and I remember coming to in recovery around 4.
Wow.
Somewhere around there. I remember right before I went in, he said, I'm going to have to put a catheter. This is going to be a long enough one. We're going to have to do a catheter.
Oh, God.
Oh, I know. But I said, do me a favor, dude. All the shit I've been through, I said, yank that thing out right before you let me come to.
For real?
So
did they do that?
Yeah.
Ah, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I should have asked for that.
Now you know.
Because I was awake when they pulled mine out. And motherfuck, that was not fun.
Nah, well, the first
even
thing
the nurse was like, this is going to
how were
scar
you,
you
with that compared to taking the pick line out? Were you less stoked?
Well, I was completely drugged up. So I was like, oh, yeah, I guess we're doing it. And they started playing. I was like, oh my God, why is it like a David Copperfield trick? And he's like, and just kept coming and coming. I was like, I'm never going to forget this.
And did you? No.
No, I definitely remember that.
That's horrible.
I know.
Doesn't it just like.
It makes my pee pee hole.
I know.
But they can do that. Like, you can ask them if they'll take it out before you wake up and.
Work for me. But yeah. Now, I'll tell you.
I'm trying that next time for sure.
The first thing I remember though was grabbing my crotch and saying, "Boy, that burns." So it could have been like right before, because they were feeling like the doctors were there messing with my toes and stuff, and I was more concerned about my bird because
yeah, right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. What was the surgery that they did? Do you know what he did when he went in there?
He went in at the T8-T9 level. He basically shaved some of the disc off. They call it a discectomy, I do believe. No, and man, they shaved some bone off to give the spinal cord some space,
yeah.
And that was about it, I do believe, and then fixed it all up, pushed a couple Jesus. Nerves out of the way and stuff. And by just touching the nerves, that's where I lost the feel. And
so what is the goal of the surgery? I mean, because you have shit that you deal with, obviously, right now, and you had shit that you deal with before. What's the difference between, like, what was the goal of the surgery and what were the differences before and
to
after?
To stop me from going in a wheelchair fairly quickly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
They told me several times now, it's nothing they can do to fix it, but we will try to stop it from progressing at a real rapid rate.
So when you came in, you said that you have a lesion on your spinal cord. At what point did they know that that's what's causing all of the pain and stuff that you're going through? Because you've said a few times that like they didn't really know what it was, and there was all this kind of confusion. But then you have the surgery 2.5 years later, where they actually go in and do the discectomy to like try to alleviate some of those symptoms that are caused by whatever's happening on your spinal cord. So at that point, do they know like, oh, this is, you know, everything's being caused by this lesion on your spinal cord, or is it still kind of up in the air?
They had no idea it was there, or maybe they did, but they just didn't say anything. The whole spinal cord thing didn't get brought to until it was probably 6 or 7 years after my surgery, or 5 years after my surgery, probably.
Whoa, so they're still like assuming this is like herniated disc.
Yeah. They were telling me that I should be able to go back to work, no trouble. And then that's why I got cut off, because they said you're able to go back to work, but I just couldn't. I wasn't safe for my set. Like, you can't go to an employer and say, like, I was a heavy equipment operator. I could get a job anywhere. You know, it's a demand for that job, but you can't tell an employer, well, I can get you probably 2 or 3 solid hours in, but then I'm gonna have to lay down for a while because I can't feel my legs.
Yeah,
and when they say, well, geez, you can't feel your legs. Well, no, I can't feel my legs. Well, you're not safe to work, man. You know, especially, and then, so I was told I could work at Tim Hortons delivering coffee. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, just the end of the road for us, you know? So basically I found this amazing doctor, Dr. Richard Leckie. I don't know if you guys heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is amazing. So it was so creepy. We went in his office. I got a new family doctor is what started the whole ball rolling. And he said, I want you to see this guy. So I went to see Dr. Richard Leckie. And we went in the office, and he was setting back too, and he couldn't see Laura. And he read my whole file, and he said, I read your file even before you had the surgery, because he said that was a very rare surgery, what they done on you. Oh. And he said, for you to be going, he said, it's pretty crazy. So he read my file a bit, you know. And so I went in, and he went all over me, and it was a certain test that they can see if your spinal cord, like, I'm not explaining this high tech at all because I don't understand.
That's cool.
Stuff.
That, if you explained it high tech, we wouldn't get it.
Yeah, we don't
perfect.
Know
So he was telling me a lot of the symptoms I had, and I could see the look on Laura's face like, oh God, we finally got a doctor that
knows
understands
what's
going on here.
Yeah.
And he was like, put your leg this way, and if I put my leg a certain way, it will just start shaking like that. So when he grabbed my toes and hauled them back, my foot just started pounding like that.
Whoa.
And I guess it has something to do with the number of times it will do that, then it indicates you got a spinal cord issue.
Whoa, crazy.
So it was...
So this guy knows the spine. Like, he is... His shit's...
He's a neurologist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to say what he knows.
Right.
Which is really nice.
Cool.
So what was the impact that he had? You saw him post surgery. So what was it that he was offering when you said, because you saw him after the surgery, so you've had the accident, you've gone through a bunch of shit, you've got the surgery to on the discs. What does he do for you?
He said, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to connect the dots for all the doctors that worked on you and workers' compensation. He said, I'm going to connect the dots to the symptoms you have and why you're having this problem. And that's what he did.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
And that's when life got a lot better for us.
Oh, yeah, so right. Before there was like, there wasn't really a lot of evidence to support that, like, you falling at work was actually the root.
Well, they were just saying your symptoms don't add up to a disc herniation. When we went and fixed the disc herniation, it's fixed.
So I was
looking at Dr. Leckie trying to ask all these smart questions, and he's a lot like me. So he said, look, I'll tell you how it is. He said, your brain is your motor, your spinal cord is your transmission. He said, your legs are your axles and your feet are your tires. He said, your transmission's fucked.
And you were like, loud and clear, buddy.
Gotcha.
Loud and clear.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Right.
That's crazy. What I'm really interested about
is a fucking awesome doctor.
Yeah, dude. Fucking layman's terms rock, right?
That's exactly how he said it.
I get it now.
It was so awesome.
What I'm really interested in is, take me, for example. I get hit by a car. It's like, I got hit by a fucking car. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I get hit by a car. The car's got a broken windshield. Like, pretty fucking clean. You have a fall at work. You got all these injuries. Obviously, like...
pretty clean in terms of, like, insurance purposes?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, there's
black and white.
Yeah, exactly. There's no wiggle room for, like...
There's no discrepancies there.
People arguing about shit, it's fucking clear. With you, it doesn't sound like it's nearly as clear... Did you ever have you ever faced stigma in terms of people thinking like, you're exacerbating your symptoms, you're like, you're faking some of it.
He's just going to Pogie Beach, this motherfucker.
Pretty much.
Laying back at Pogie Beach.
Well, look at me. I don't really look that messed up, right?
Like, yeah, I look
fairly normal.
You look pretty normal. Yeah.
If I close my eyes and look up, I fall over. But I mean, you can't see. So...
Yeah. I do too when I've had a few drinks.
You just need a little push there.
Yeah, that's right.
So I got a lot of pep talks. I even got a pep talk from someone saying that when I got fat enough from laying around on the couch, I'd want to go back to work. And it actually made my life really bad, to be honest with you, because my life has only been good for the last 2 years because I was angry at everyone in the world. I went to all these doctors that said, well, you should be able to go back to work. I don't understand why you can't go back to work. And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're trying to say, well, I got all this shit that's going on. And they're saying, well, you did the surgery and that means that you should be able to do it.
They kept saying, well, the disc at T8 and T9, well, these symptoms aren't adding up.
Yeah.
You know, right. When Dr. Leckie come along, he said, well, I'll add it up for you.
Speaking of falling, another thing that Laura had mentioned in your application is you've had a couple like pretty bad falls.
Yeah.
There was one, and I don't know if this was a fucking typo, but it said that you fell while chasing your pig in a carpool parking lot. Can you explain that?
So basically, after my surgery and stuff, I was just laying around trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed something to do to get me up on my feet. So I started raising pigs for the family and stuff.
Raising?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Racing. For a very brief moment, I thought you said racing. I went, no, raising.
So anyways, I was selling pigs to a guy.
That's why they didn't give him his compensation. They're like, dude, you're fucking racing pigs, dude. You're fine. And you're killing them. You're just slaughtering them in the fucking race.
Also, I like how you, the first thing that comes to mind is like, got to make some money for the family. Might as well raise some pigs. Like, maybe graphic design would have been easier.
Possibly. I'm not good with
so. Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break.
Hi, I'm Jesse Cruikshank.
Jesse Cruikshank.
I host the number one comedy podcast called Phone a Friend.
Girl, let's phone a friend.
Not only do I break down the biggest stories in pop culture with guests like Dan Levy and members of NSYNC, I do it with my own personal boy band singing jingles throughout. Because it's my show.
It's your show, girl.
New episodes of Phone a Friend.
Yeah.
Drop Thursdays wherever you get your podcasts.
So work it, girl. Yeah, work it.
Okay, that's enough.
So you start raising pigs.
Yeah, so I was basically just selling some piglets. They were only like 50, 60 pounds. And my legs give out all the time. So I went to hand the guy a pig. And we were in a car pool that was right next to a McDonald's and a shopping plaza.
Right.
And I mean, in a perfect world, it would work great, but my leg gave out and the pig got out of my arms and he missed it and it got out and started running around.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we were trying to catch it and I try to hide my injuries from people. Like, I don't tell everyone, oh, I got a spinal cord injury. I try to hide it. Now I'm getting better at it because then it just lets them know if I'm acting weird. Well, hey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, we were trying to catch this pig and I went to move forward to catch this pig when it run by me, because it actually did run right out through the drive-thru of the McDonald's. It was like right in the drive-thru. And it was a spectacle.
Imagine just being that kid in the drive-thru.
This is like exactly how Loki got hit when he was like 6 months old.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow. So anyways, I went to make a lunge to get the pig and my leg give out and I tried to fight through it and I just crushed my big toe.
Oh!
I broke the two ends off the bone and it was just like a arrow.
Oh my God, dude.
And I left it. Well, we were probably another 40 minutes catching the pig and Laura was at work and I called her and I'm like, at first I can't really feel my right foot that good. So I thought it was just like my sock was crumpled up or something under my big toe. And then I tried to move it. You could just feel the bones going everywhere.
Ooh.
So I was like, no, I'll just leave my boot on. We'll get this pig and deal with it after. So I called Laura. She was working at the hospital, I think, at the time. And I'm like, yeah, would you mind meeting me? You know, because it was starting to, at this time, the pressure was just getting ridiculous. So anyways, I went in.
Without the context that you raise pigs, that is one of the most hilarious.
I know, because that's all it says in the application where I was like, chasing a pig in a carpool parking lot. What the fuck? It, she must have meant something else.
You should have stressed that point.
Yeah.
So, you had another recent really bad one, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I tore my finger off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you've got... I see all your fingers, but it was a really fucked up break.
Well, what happened is, so since my injury, I can't feel my legs real good.
Yeah.
So if I happen to fall, like you guys, you can probably catch yourself pretty good. But with me, it's just like you're in the front of the bus and along for the ride. I can't right myself until I get to the crash scene. So I fell and I don't know what happened, but my finger got caught on a tree limb as it went down by. And it actually just took it from here and snapped it off and then brought it out, all that bone come out through the end.
Oh my God, like a compound fracture, like came out of the skin.
Oh yeah.
like almost a cartoon break.
Here's the photo.
That's after I sort of fixed it myself.
No.
Yeah, because it was freezing cold outside and as soon...
That bone
is adjacent to the one that it's supposed to be parallel with.
So fuck me. What the dude, what's the line there? Is that the doctor drew that?
No, I drew it to show you.
Oh, you drew it. Wow.
It should be a straight line, but obviously it's a
It's a fucking giant like Z.
Yeah.
God,
show
damn
me
it.
A real life one. That's, Laura.
No, you got a real life.
Yeah.
You got
to have that one on my phone.
I got one I can probably show you. I want
to see that.
A real life one would be great.
I want to see that.
So what happened was the first thing you wouldn't believe it. The first thing I noticed was the cold air on the bone. It was like that toothache. First thing was like, oh God, that cold on the bone is just
awful. Oh, that's
awful.
So weird.
Oh, that makes me feel
so
weird.
So I started walking back towards my building and I made it like five steps. And I'm like, no, I got to do something about this right now. So I took my finger because it was like straight up.
This is making me feel weak.
So I took my finger and hauled it out, and surprisingly, all that meat, like you can see where they had to stitch it all up across the bottom.
Don't say meat. Yeah.
So yeah. This half of your finger was like broken, and then down here, and then you pulled it back up.
Yeah. And then I put it as you've seen it in that picture. I tried to put it in joint, but I didn't really. When I got to the ER, they showed me how to get it. I was pulling, and he said, if you would have pushed, you would have got it.
So before you did that, it was like this top half of your finger was actually like kind of in line with the, like,
it was
kind of
right there
above the bottom half of your finger.
Yeah, it was right there sticking 90 degrees up, and all that bone there was out. You could see the, like, the ligaments and stuff.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
So was it bloody? Was there a lot of blood?
At first it started bleeding a little bit, but then when I got it twisted around and tried to get it back, it was so tight that it didn't bleed barely at all.
Oh, fuck me, man. Jesus.
So
did it hurt?
Shock.
I mean, yeah, it hurt, but it was more pressure. It felt like I had an 18-wheeler parked on my hand. Like, the pressure in that thing was beyond.
That's crazy.
And I did get some shock because I started sweating real bad, and it was like minus 15, minus 18, and I was sweating really bad and sick to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So. You mentioned that.
Man, I go into a full-on panic. If I saw that on anyone, I go into a panic. If I saw it on me, I just start running. I just try to run away from my own finger.
Adam, you said that when you're talking about your toe and the feeling, it sounded like because of the nerves, like you can't feel it that bad. Does that affect like your fingers and anything like that too, or is it all? Is that mostly lower body because it's below the T6?
No, it's mostly from, you know, basically just under my nipples downwards.
Yeah.
Now, I have problems with my neck because of all that, because it affects so much stuff. Like, it just affects everything, but...
Are you on any kind of, like, medication or anything? Like, do you...
I do take some stuff. I'm basically... I tried all them pharmaceuticals and... Excuse me. I went through a lot of stuff, and I'm afraid of the pharmaceutical painkillers. Like,
yeah,
dude, I got enough issues. I don't need to be hooked on that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's rough. I was on them for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And coming off of that was the worst day of my life, I think.
I guess I was just going to say, I guess pain management's like probably a really important thing for you because like this is something that you're going to experience chronically for the rest of your life, right? So like even going on medication, it's not like you're just opting to go on medication for a week or two. It's like, you know, this is going to, if you find something that works, you want it to be something that's going to be sustainable that you can continue doing, you know, for as long as you can and something that doesn't have like these adverse side effects and things that are going to really fuck you up long term.
Well, pain management's a really broad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I tried everything and they made me sick. I still had the pain. It just made me sick. And since this spinal cord injury, I've been getting allergic and sensitive to all kinds of stuff. I'm allergic to bees now. I can't be stung by bees.
Oh, wow.
And that happened since and now I can't take Dilaudid or codeine because I get allergic reactions. I could take it all before my spinal cord.
How do you find out that you're allergic, that you would be allergic to bees? Like, did you get stung once and you had to go to the hospital, or is it just like they know?
It's a funny story.
Funnier than the pigs?
Yeah, well, I got stung at the farm one day like 5 or 6 times.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of times.
My heart just
Macaulay Culkin
started racing, and I was right weird. So I'm like, man, I'm going to jump the truck and head home. So I jumped in the truck and head home, and I got home, and I was laying there in bed, and I wasn't feeling good. And Laura walked in, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, well, I'm just not feeling good. I stung by some bees and stuff. And she looked at me. I had hives all over me and stuff. So
were you, like, mad, swollen anywhere?
I don't think so, no. Just it felt ticklish in my throat a little bit, but
oh, crazy.
Other than that.
Yeah, so that's a symptom of your throat swelling shut.
Yeah. I didn't clue into that. It made me a little stupid in the head. I was right slow. It was just like I was tired. I wanted to go sleep. Mm-hmm. So then I went in and had the test, and I'm like, yeah, you're allergic to
that's so weird. So you're like, did you have any allergies before that? And then you have your accident, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm fucking allergic to stuff.
I start getting these allergies. Yeah, it's
that's
crazy.
So weird.
In terms of pain management, have you tried like cannabis as an option?
Yes, I have. I was lucky. I got onto that real early. I wasn't a big pot smoker beforehand, and I had a guy say, "Hey, man, try this, man. Anyways, I tried it, and it
you're
helped
average.
Me. It's not one of those things that just help the pain right away for you. You got to sort of learn about it and learn how to use it and stuff. But that is the that's the most thing I use right now for my pain management to control most of my symptoms. I take another drug. It's called Ciprolex. It's a mood stabilizer, but it's also works for nerves.
Oh, interesting.
I tried the gabapentin, the Lyrica. Lyrica actually worked perfect for me, but it gave me a headache.
Oh, I see. I've seen commercials for Lyrica.
I think there's commercials saying that shit will kill you or something.
I can't remember what.
You got cancer or something.
I can't remember what
it's
the
a great
what
commercial. It'll fucking kill you.
I have a hobby job where I dog sit for people, and the amount of dogs that are on gabapentin is fucking crazy.
What are these? What is gabapentin? What is Lyrica?
Antidepressants?
It's for anti-anxiety. Primarily,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But the amount of dogs that they give that to, like, I've had...
And that stuff works for nerves, too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's like a dual purpose.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's it's pretty funny because, like, the first time I came across it, it was a doctor, the guy who owned the dogs, he was a doctor, and he's like, yeah, the dogs take a couple medications. They were older dogs. And he's like, one's gabapentin, it's an anti-anxiety thing. And I was like, oh, cool, your dogs are on anti-anxiety medication. They're, like, 14 years old and about to die, so, like... I was like, that's nice. Maybe that makes him sleep a little bit better. Yeah. And then like the next dogs I dogs had for were younger dogs, but also on gabapentin. And then like three or four dogs later, there was another dog on gabapentin. I'm like, geez, like, are they prescribing this shit like candy to dogs?
I went to a party and over the holidays, and the person's house that we went to, their dog is like a pretty anxious dog, like in general. And they knew they were having a pretty significant house party, and so they gave the dog gabapentin or whatever it's called to so the dog would be like, because when I came in I was like, yo, Russ is looking real chill, and they're like, oh yeah, we gave him some anti-anxiety meds. And I was like, oh, what a interesting.
Yeah. Did you ever find like I found that when I was on Dilaudid, I mean, it took I was in acute pain from the breaks. It took my pain away, but it made me feel, just made me feel like nothing.
Dopey.
Like it made me feel just like
you're getting
like, yeah, not really like no emotions, no like just totally like level, not really like no sensory like feeling of anything. So like life was just kind of like
gray. I remember coming into your house and I just started going
and I go
in your face and you were just like,
But then it wasn't prescribed, but I was just probably 3 or 4 days after I got out of the hospital, I started smoking some weed, just whatever I had bought from the NSLC.
Oh, I thought you said the Dilaudid wasn't prescribed, and I was like, where the fuck were you getting it?
The Dilaudid was prescribed.
You know, like, I hit the streets as soon as I got out of the hospital.
The weed was not. But gotcha. Then when I started smoking weed, and I experimented with a few and like different CBD and THC stuff, and like some alt CBD and some high THC and all that stuff. But I would find that would then make me feel like actually like a person again. Like I wouldn't just feel
while on the Dilaudid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't, whoa, and I wouldn't just feel like shitty and like dead to the world, but I'd actually feel good. Even when I was in like the acute pain, I wonder, like, do you get any, was that ever something that you had experienced?
Well,
at all?
Like we were talking earlier, take a Dilaudid and try to write out an essay or something. Yeah. Not
oh
gonna
my
happen.
God. Zero concentration.
If you use some marijuana, it doesn't take all them symptoms away like it would maybe the Dilaudid. But what it does is it allows you to function and deal with the symptoms a little better that you can get by through your day without making you feel like you're a demon.
I honestly, I couldn't feel like on the pain meds, the opioids, like no concentration, like forget reading anything, like, and that. And that continued for probably a couple months afterwards, where I just felt like I couldn't concentrate on anything.
Are you taking like Rick Simpson oil or are you just smoking the weed?
I just eat it or smoke.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think Rick Simpson oil is more for like a chemo, somebody on a chemo protocol.
Yeah. Well, I know some people take it for pain and I took it for pain the other night and it definitely worked.
I picked him up. We went to a movie.
My lord.
It was funny.
I had never been so high in my entire life.
Rick Simpson oil is so, like, incredibly high THC, right?
My back was super fucked, and my dad comes in and goes, he's like, buddy, have you been taking weed for you? Like CBD? And I was like, no, I don't have any. And I don't usually take THC anyway. And he was like, here, I'll go get you some CBD pills that I have. And he brought up this bottle, and I looked at the bottle, and I went, this says Rick Simpson oil. And my dad goes, nah, it's CBD. And I was like, I'm pretty sure, like, when Brandon had his cancer, he was taking Rick Simpson oil, and, like, he got so fucked up at a party once, he just disappeared, and we didn't know where he went. We called him the next day, and he was like, took that Rick Simpson oil, and I just panicked and left.
I thought Chris Braley was trying to kill him.
Yeah, he thought his best friends were trying to kill him. So I was like, Dad, I don't know. And they're 45 milligram pills, and my dad goes, well, I take two of them at night to go to sleep, and they don't get me high. And I was like,
that's because you're asleep and you're in the netherworld.
Yeah, well. So I was like, well, maybe he just like put CBD pills in the wrong bottle. I don't fucking know. So I was like, give me one of them. An hour later, I was like, oh no. And I went to a movie with Taylor. Actually, it was the new Star Wars movie. No idea what happened. All I remember was that it was the best experience of my entire life and that there was a dagger involved somewhere. And the next day I called my dad and was like, are you fucking high?
Are you fucking high?
Are you just permanently high? Because I was high until 3 p.m. the next day. It fucked me up. Although the next day I woke up and I was like, my back, because I was taking it for back issues. My back was amazing. I was like, wow, I feel great. So anyway, but it scared me off a little bit.
It ended up being a testimonial.
You'd be surprised. Be. Like, yeah. I can, like, if I'm having a really bad time and I'm having a lot of pain, you don't really get the high from it. Mm. You can use an awful lot and it doesn't make you get that way. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, I know
your body
you mean.
Sort of.
You got, like, the pain is so, it takes so much of your brain power to that has to think about the way that the pain makes you feel, that, you know, you can smoke and then go, I know that CBD and THC has like pain properties in it, but I've always had this idea in my head since I was like, you know, like a kid smoking weed, and on the train of like, you know, weed should be legal and all this stuff and pain and nausea, that it just made me forget about the pain. Like it drew my attention away from the pain or the nausea or whatever it was. Like it's like my pain is in my foot, but it's like, well, when I'm doing that, I'm able to think actually about how great my right shoulder feels instead of how shitty my left foot feels or something like that. And I always found that was like an interesting property of smoking when doing it for pain.
Pain isn't just about the physical symptoms. And I know we kind of like glossed over more of like the mental health side of things. And you mentioned that, it's only really been like the last couple of years that you've started to like feel more like yourself again. What has your experience been with like understanding your own mental health throughout this entire process?
Wow. Well, I don't know if I still understand it, but you know, I got put in a dark place because I felt like everyone was out to get me. No one would really just listen to what I was trying to tell them. Like, if you fix me, this will all go away. And, you know, I was just hard to be around. The pain gets to you. And when you got so many other stresses in life, everything adds, it just snowballs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize it until I finally had to go talk with someone and just, you know, tell them, basically tell them what you're going through, and they can look at you and say, well, no, you're not crazy. It's pretty bad what you're going through. And, you know, some of them are natural reactions, but here's a better way to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know,
how beneficial was it to hear that like you weren't alone in your suffering, that like the pain that you were going through wasn't just because of like something that you were creating in your head?
When Dr. Lecky sort of pointed out and connected all the dots, it was like, I couldn't tell you how good I felt, because I was always wondering in my own head, Jesus, am I crazy? Like, are all these symptoms really, you know, God, they're all saying I should be able to work. And then when he finally, you know, said, no, this is why it's happening, it allowed me to start picking out the things now where I was having problems and work on them, mm-hmm. you know, because it...
What's like really worked for you in the last couple of years in terms of like bettering your mental health? Is there anything that you do or like anything that you've been practicing that kind of like helps?
Yeah, like what do you do with your time now? Because like you obviously haven't been back to work.
No.
So,
well, you raise pigs.
Yeah, so, the pig thing.
Basically, what happened is I started raising a rare breed of pig, the Berkshires. And
man bear pig. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Very familiar with the man bear pig.
Is that?
It's a South Park reference. Have you seen? Oh, it's no, sorry. Classic. Sorry. Anyway, continue.
So I got into that to just keep me going, to keep me physical so I wouldn't lay around, lose my muscle mass and everything. And then I get into that. I really started just enjoying the animals because they're so peaceful if you give them the right environment.
They're so cute.
They are, and they don't hold grudges. They don't tell you that you're not hurting or they don't look at you funny when you're hurting. So I just got into them, and then I started getting some really rare old bloodlines, and I started breeding them. So that's sort of what I do.
Oh, now. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, and I sell, you know, quality pork to people, mm-hmm. families and stuff like that. And just, you know, it gives me something to do. I don't get rich off of it, but it keeps me out of bed and from giving up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You got to have something to like get your hands back to work, you know? Like, yeah, I started fixing a bike when I was sitting around and
Can I see that?
I couldn't stand up yet. I was still using my walker to get around. I just set myself up in a chair and propped my bike up and started, you know, working on a bike.
Exactly.
And it was like, you know, that was the saving grace when, like, you know, I can't go outside and walk and do anything. Like, I can't ride my bike.
Yeah.
I could fix a bike. And, you know, that was like really therapeutic mentally. And like, just to get your hands or your feet moving to like do something.
Makes you feel like you got a purpose, like you're doing something. And your mind just, like, my mind will attack me.
Yeah.
Like when I'm just laying around looking at the ceiling, thinking about all the symptoms I got right now and stuff. And where is this going?
Yeah.
It makes it 10 times worse. So,
I mean, how do you fare with, when I'm on the couch, movies, and I'm real good at movies and video games, real good, but not everybody is. Like, is the couch just like a nightmare for you? Like,
I can't lay on the couch. It's either bed or I got a special chair that I can set in a bit, but it's just either flat out or,
mm-hmm.
and the TV in our room is always on. Because I'm always awake, you know, like I might get 2 or 3 hours a night, throw out a whole night of sleep,
man.
And
Jesus,
that's gotta have it. That's gotta that's have
it. It does take a toll.
It's own side effects. Over
no
time.
Question. No question. Like I can't, my memory is shot. I can't remember nothing. Half the time I got to look at Laura and say, how old am I again? Because it's just, you know, all these things add up and this is the things that you lose, your memory, your, you know.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It affects so much.
I mean, sleep is like it's scary. Vitally important. It's scary.
Do you guys have kids?
How much?
Yes, we have two kids.
What is that experience like? I'm at like, cause this whole time I'm picturing you, like, obviously you're raising your kid, your pigs. but how old are your kids?
They're 16 and 8.
Okay. So did you have one?
We have one together and one's my stepdaughter. She had previously. Okay,
so clearly when you said that, your bird really hurt when they pulled the at post catheter. It still works, obviously.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
God, that would have been a really botched catheter.
Also, it would have been a huge piece of the puzzle that just was left out.
Well, so I don't know.
Maybe purposely
because of like nerve stuff and spinal cord. Like,
yeah, sure.
It's not like
if there's no feeling down there, then maybe.
Well, that's a problem,
right?
I do get it, I'll have times where I just can't feel it.
Okay.
It's just a part down there and I can't feel it. Now, on the other side of that, I'll get these, like, I'll just be sitting around. I got 2 or 3 of them since I've been here where it feels like someone puts a vise on your nuts and just starts squeezing.
Oh,
and
whoa.
The pressure.
You handled it very well. Do you mean since we've been talking?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That is a feat.
You get used to it though, right?
That's it. Does fucked up shit like that just happen to you all, like, endlessly throughout the day?
So right now I got pains shooting down my right leg and it's exploding in my right foot. And my foot is like, you know, when your hands get so cold, they burn. That's what mm-hmm. my both yeah. feet feel like right now.
Whoa.
And through my side, I can't remember the name of it. They give it a name, but it feels like I got centipedes crawling under the skin.
Oh, Jesus fuck.
Dude. Just thing is just like tingly shit.
Dude, nerves, man.
Yeah. Well, we're almost at the end of this conversation, so you're just going to have to bear with it.
Oh, I'm all good, man. I'm perfect.
That's crazy. That's crazy that you're sitting there feeling all that and you give... You know, you get obviously you're seasoned with dealing with it. I mean, like you don't give any of it away.
That's part of pain management. I had a doctor tell me one time in pain management. He said, you know, pain is like a highway, and like if you get a toothache, it's like a 2-lane highway. It hurts, but if that persists, then all of a sudden things start acting there, and now it's a 4-lane highway. It's shooting more signals. And then before you know it, it's a 6-lane highway and it's shooting a lot of, and then it's hurting more and more. So the more you let into that stuff, mm-hmm. the more it's going to get you, I find.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, the mental fortitude that you would have had to build up over the years, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to deal with that, because like pain is ultimately in the mind. It's a part of the body. It's telling the mind something's not right.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to develop the ability to deal with the pain.
It's mm-hmm. crazy. I get pains in parts of my body that I was in, you know, I see my physiotherapist and they're like, it's nothing wrong there, Adam. It's just the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, why? Like, well, for instance, my back, I get like I told you, I feel like these things crawling under my skin and sometimes it gets so bad, I got to get Laura to scratch my back and it's like playing Battleship with her.
Mm-hmm.
I tell her it's on the right and she starts scratching. I'm like, no, that's not the spot. And then when she finally finds it, it's down on the left side.
I know that feeling. That's such a fucking weird thing in the body. What is up with that?
I don't, well, it's nerves, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that is really, do you ever have that? Where you go to scratch an itch where you think it is and then you get there and it's somewhere else? I you're the first person I've ever heard that's ever like.
Do you ever get into a spot where, like, so let's say, like at a massage where you lay down and like your goal is to just like be still and do nothing for the next little bit, but as soon as you lay down, you're like, oh shit, I've got an itch behind my ear, and then all of a sudden you itch that, and then it's
it hops around,
and then it hops around, like, and you're like, I can't get it. I don't want to be that person that's just like.
I don't know if I told you guys about.
I get my massage therapist to scratch me. I go right behind my ear. Just get the itch.
Think that would be offensive to a massage? Can you like? They're trying to like treat you, and you're like,
not if it was like Kelly.
They're like I rub, I don't scratch.
Do you think that's like a mental thing?
It's a Larry David thing.
Do you think that's a mental thing though? Like when you lay down, you're like, I just want to relax, but then like you think of something to bother you because like
totally,
you know, it's like an inopportune time to think of it.
Absolutely.
But it reminds me of when I was like 12, my brother and I were driving in the car with our dad, and we were on this like long car ride, and he was like, do you guys know that it's nearly impossible to touch your face, to go without touching your face for an hour? And we were like, we could do it. And he's like, I'll give you $100 if you go an hour without touching your face. And then so like as soon as you start thinking about it, you just have to touch, like, whether it's your hairline, something on your nose, you just want to rub your face.
Everyone listening to this right now is just like, fuck,
and you guys probably want to touch your face right now too.
No, I don't.
And so anyway,
give me $100 if I don't do it for an hour.
So anyway, we tried to go for an hour.
I could not touch my face for an hour.
So could I.
I broke within like 3 minutes. My brother went the entire hour and my dad gave him $100. And as a 12-year-old, he was like, this is amazing.
Dennis has the will of...
Are you guys ready to see the cutest thing you've ever seen in your fucking life?
Definitely.
Oh, is that the pigs?
There's a bunch of little piglets. It's 10 piglets sucking on the teats of its mom.
That looks like
of their mom.
They look like French bulldogs almost.
They do look like little Frenchies.
They do when they're...
What kind of pig is that?
They're Berkshires.
Oh,
how big do they get?
Berkshire.
My breeding boar is about 850 pounds.
Whoa. How good do they taste?
They taste amazing.
There's so many people that heard that and got so pissed. Yeah. Oh, they're so cute. And they are so tasty.
Yeah.
And that's, it's hard. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to look at this and then also know what they taste like. well, before we do wrap this up, there is a question that we like to ask most of our guests. And I think this would be a really good time to ask it. I think it'd be a good guest to ask it too. It's a two-parter. The first part of the question is, what would you say is the biggest thing that your spinal cord injury has taken away from you?
Wow. I've been thinking about that, and I really, it's such a hard, it's taken a lot, and I don't want to be that guy that says, oh, I lost everything, you know, but it, if you say what has it taken from you, it's taken all my physical activities, you know, like I used to be active. I lost all that. It's, I don't know. It changed. It just changed my life.
Yeah, completely.
It completely changed my life. I was 27 and I had a real good plan on life, and it just totally changed one day.
What's the biggest thing that it's given you?
So the biggest thing it's given me is it, well, really, Laura. I met Laura through this because I wouldn't have been home. I was home injured when I met Laura, so I never would have met her.
But was she just like a Jehovah's Witness and came and ringed on the doorbell? And
no, we were.
I thought you were going to say yes there for a second.
It was a Facebook meeting. We met on Facebook and then went from there. But what it's honestly given me is the attitude that everyone's got something to deal with, and it really doesn't matter. You just got to keep going on with life because life ain't going to stop. And if you go the hard way, which I did a few years, it makes it way worse. Mm-hmm. So you got to try to accept what happened and make the best of it. You know, I'm sure that's sort of corny by saying that, but it's really what you got to do. You just, you got to pick up the pieces, what you got left, and make the best of it. And I'll be honest, one of the biggest things it's done for me is made me be good to other people. And I don't know why it's done that, but I'm a lot more sympathetic to other people now. Ooh. Like if I see someone having a bad day, I can relate.
Yeah.
I can say, man, I've been there in them days where you're thinking this ain't gonna, you know, you're in the middle of one of these attacks and I lose my vision. I'm throwing up for 12, 14 hours. You're thinking it can't get much better or worse than this, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you make the choice, right? Like, you can go the one way where like no one knows what I'm going through and, you know, I've got it this way and like it's worse than anybody could ever imagine. Or you could look at it the way that you do, which is the one that has the silver lining, the one that
find things that make you happy.
Yeah,
you know, and crazily for me, it was pigs. Pigs made me happy. It gave me a purpose. You know, and
how did you come across that?
So basically, I couldn't work. I wasn't bringing in income, so I'm like, well, what can I do to help out? Because Laura was the only provider at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, maybe I can grow our food, and we have a lot of land. So I bought a couple of pigs and started raising them. And then I learned that these things are pretty amazing and they taste good too.
Yeah.
So then I got more and it sort of snowballed from there.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it's hard. Like Laura can tell you, I got 800 pound pigs that stand there bouncing, waiting for me to come. And I pet them. They're my pets. I got a 9-year-old pig down there. That's my pet. It's my therapy. It's just like my dog. They're like therapy for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
So when I get up, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, when I'm laying there feeling like I just went through battle all night, makes it a little easier knowing that I have to get out of bed to go feed my pigs and take care of them. And that when I get there, they're going to be excited to see me. I'm going to scratch their backs. You know, it gives you that reason.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have a reason, it would be easy just lay around all time.
Just to give up.
Yep. Yeah. It would be.
Adam, man, I had a feeling this would have been a really, really great conversation. And you definitely didn't disappoint. It's been great to get to know you. Great to meet you. Thank you, Laura, for applying on his behalf without his knowledge.
Thank you.
And for sitting in the corner and offering up the... those little tidbits that Adam might have forgotten. So this has been great, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys, man. This is great what you do. It's awesome.
Yeah.
This has been a pleasure.
Thanks, sweet, man.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope your new year is off to a nice start. And you know what would make it off to an even better start is if you took a second, went over to Apple Podcasts and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already, and leave a rating and a review. Because that just helps us stay up on the iTunes charts and gets more people to hear great conversations and to hear and / meet over podcasts people like Adam.
Yeah. Smash it. Smash the subscribe.
You just press it gently.
You can
too.
Smash your way over to patreon.com/sickboy and become a contributor. There's lots of cool shit over there. The Discord, channel that we have, which is like a private group conversation with all of our, which is actually incredible.
We actually now have a Patreon merch.
Patreon merch
through Patreon themselves. So it's a pretty sweet little setup. For the info, go to patreon.com/sickboy. And there's three different tiers there. You can get stickers, t-shirts, mug, and a mug.
And on top of all that, you become one of the many people that allow us to do this on a daily basis and meet new people and have great conversations. So
speaking about that, we're coming to, we said at the very top of the show, but we're coming to Vancouver.
Right. Vancouver, February 28th at the Biltmore Cabaret.
Yep.
Can't remember the address, but you know, fucking Google Maps exists.
Yeah. So. And thanks to our patrons, that trip is a big part in part thanks to you. Yep. So
tickets, if they're not already available, which I don't think they are, but they will be very, very soon.
Cool.
And thanks as always to the amazing sound designer of the show, Donovan, the CPAP Morgan. Donovan, thanks for making us sound so great in this episode. And also thanks for making it feel and sound like we're in a pig pen right now.
Oh,
playing with a bunch of cute little pigs.
What does that sound like?
And then make it sound like they're going off to the host where they get prepared.
No!
Donovan, why are you doing this?
Listen
you
to them.
Just turned so red.
Listen to them sizzle.
Oh my god,
making bacon.
As always, thanks to Take Part, the band formerly known as Take Part, for the theme music. We love you guys.
Which is currently
Jamesy
with different people.
Yeah.
So kind of.
Which I don't think they. I don't know if they're going to be playing.
We'll talk about that later. Really funny. Did you guys watch Don't Fuck with Cats?
I haven't seen it.
Luca Magnotta used the screen name on one of his videos when he was posting or commenting on Facebook as Jamesy Fucks a Lot or Jamesy.
No.
Yeah, it's really funny.
James, you guys got to change your name. Bad optics.
They have to change their name again.
Yeah. Right. That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Adam.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.